Well, we're beginning a new series for Christmas. We're looking at this Christmas story during our Sunday morning services. In the evening, we're going to look at one verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for a few Sundays. But in the morning, I want to look at different passages from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and perhaps John, also looking at the Christmas story. Well, in 2021, the census said that 37% of the UK population declare themselves to be non-religious. They have no religion. The Humanist Society in the UK says that means that the UK is one of the least religious countries in the whole world. And then it says this, whilst 46% of people identify as Christian, people say, I'm Church of Wales, I'm Church of England, they identify as Christian. Over 50% of those do not believe that Jesus was even real, that he is the Son of God, that he died and he rose again. I wonder how many people are in church on a Sunday morning today in the UK. Maybe 6%, maybe 8%, maybe 10%, but I wonder how many really believe in Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour. The UK needs a revival. It needs God to come in great power to awaken and stir up his church to reach out. And we need an awakening on a massive scale to turn the hearts of people to the Lord. Now this morning we're thinking a little bit about John the Baptist, and he was used to awaken the nation of Judea in particular. The Jews in Israel at that time were stirred in a mighty way. But we're thinking not so much of him, but of his father, Zacharias. And I know many times when I've preached, I've mentioned Zachariah, because in different versions of the Bible, it's pronounced in a different way. It's a bit like, I would say Abijah, and our brother said a different pronunciation of Abijah. We all pronounce things in different ways, don't we? And I'm sure many times you think, why did the pastor pronounce it that way? But we're looking at Zacharias this morning, the father of John the Baptist. It was a time of spiritual apostasy. Many people claimed that they were God's children because they believed that they were the children of Abraham. Well, yes, there was a blood descent, but they were not his children in the sense that they did not have the same faith as Abraham. And John the Baptist was sent to turn these people back to the Lord. Look at verse 16. Look at some of the words that the angel Gabriel gave to Zacharias. Speaking about his son, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And then further things are said in verse 17 about how John would do this, uniting families to fear the Lord. That was going to be his ministry, turning many hearts back to the Lord their God. Now, the birth of John the Baptist was staggering, wasn't it? Here's a woman who's very old, and here's a man who's very old. We read that both Zacharias and Elizabeth were well advanced in years. And yet God gave them a child, one who would be full of the Holy Spirit from birth. And John the Baptist was all part of God's plan. God was preparing the people to receive the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. God was sending a prophet to preach to them, to get their hearts ready for the coming of the Messiah. Now, in the passage that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to concentrate upon the unbelief of Zacharias. And the unbelief was dealt with by God in a very dramatic way. God struck this man dumb. He could not speak. He was mute. He could not say a word because he doubted the word of God that came through the angel Gabriel. Immediately that should say to you and I, we have to be so careful with unbelief. Some people will say, well, the great sins are the sins of sex outside of marriage, or of corruption, or the sins of murder. But God treats unbelief very seriously. Now, this man didn't have a heart of unbelief in that he was saying, I do not believe in Jehovah, and I do not believe in the promise of the coming of the Messiah. He didn't have a hardened heart against the promises, the gospel promises of God in the Old Testament. But he did doubt a word that God gave to him specifically, that he and his wife would have a son. So we're looking at the unbelief of this man, but we want to say this, that his unbelief never hindered the plans of God. And that's a wonderful truth. God overrules the sins of his people. God's plans cannot be frustrated. God is always victorious. His plans always are enacted by him. So the first thing I want to think about this morning is God's purposes. It was a low time in Israel. It was a very low time in their history. They'd known the Maccabean revolt 150 years before Christ. And those Jews who were radicals, were seeking to throw off the yoke of the Greek Empire, failed. Now it was the Roman Empire, and the Jews were still under bondage. Caesar Augustus was the emperor, and he had a puppet, Herod the Great, a ruthless man, an evil man who governed Judea. It was a difficult time for the Jewish people. For 400 years, they had not had any revelation from God. There had been silence in heaven. No prophet had been sent, no word from God. Been about 500 years since there had been a miracle. The last miracle recorded in Scripture was during the Babylonian captivity. Daniel and his three friends were saved from that fiery furnace, and Daniel was spared from the mouth of the lions. And the Jewish people, their religion had become very formal. It was not heart religion. They sought to adhere to the law of God. The Pharisees sought to impose the word of God on them, impose it through their own interpretation of the word of God, trying to enforce strict obedience to their own laws. And so there was an outward show. People appeared to be religious. They had these religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests, who walked around in robes. They had their festivals. They went to the synagogue. They kept up their religion. They were very religious people, but their hearts were far from God. And then God broke into the silence, and he spoke. He sent an angel from heaven. We read of the angel Gabriel in our passage as one who stood in the presence of God. And God sends this shining being. He appears in the temple to Zacharias, and he tells him that his wife will have a son. And this one will be great, and he'll prepare the way of the Messiah. God in his mercy was now going to change the scene, the spiritual scene in Judea. Now, who was Zacharias? In verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, we learn that he was not a townie, was not a city boy, but he was from the villages. We read that he was from the hill country in Judea. So he's just a simple person. Yes, he was a priest, and his wife, we read from verse 5, was also one of the daughters of Aaron from a priestly line. But he's very ordinary, just from the hill country. He was not a notable priest. He wasn't high up. You see, there were 18,000 priests in his day, and he was just one of them. We read that he was part of the division of Abijah, verse 5, and there were 24 divisions. And he would take his turn to go to the temple and to serve there. But there was something very specific that we read about him and his wife. Whilst they were ordinary, and whilst he was just a priest with all the privileges that entailed, he was godly. From verse 5 to verse 6, we read, they were both righteous before God. In other words, he had a godly marriage. He and his wife loved the Lord. He and his wife kept the commands of God. He was righteous in two ways. Righteous like Abraham, because he believed God and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. He had a legal righteousness from God. He had a righteousness that was imputed to him. A righteousness that was given to him. A righteousness that he didn't have outside of himself. He and his wife were righteous because, like Abraham of old, they believed God. And it was their faith in the coming Messiah that granted them righteousness. Righteousness was given to them. But also we learn that he was walking in righteousness. Not only was righteousness imputed to him, put to his account, but imparted to him. And righteousness was worked out in his life and in the life of his wife. Look at verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. That's staggering to read of these two. You see, the Lord still had a remnant. Whilst there were many people whose hearts were far from the Lord, this wasn't the case for this couple. They really loved God. They obeyed him. Now, sometimes you hear people say, I love my Lord. I've always loved my Lord. But there's fragrant disregard for the law of God. I love God. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And these two were keeping the commandments before the Lord, blameless. What a wonderful testimony. What a tremendous challenge to you and to me. Am I honoring God in all areas of my life? Am I pleasing him? Do I walk a holy life by the grace of God? But you know, there's another thing that we learn about them. We're thinking of the purposes of God. God is going to send John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Messiah. Who's he going to use? Well, he's going to use this couple, and they're going to have a child, despite the unbelief of Zacharias, a righteous, godly couple. There's a problem, verse 7. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. Now, what did that mean in their culture? It meant that there was a stigma upon them. Barrenness was seen as a sign of God's curse. And so later in the chapter, you read of Elizabeth. And the scripture says reproach was taken away from her. Reproach, because God gave that child that they longed for. I think there's something wonderful about what we're reading, because we're reading that God uses ordinary people. We often say that, don't we? They weren't members of the Sanhedrin. They weren't leading. He wasn't a leading Pharisee. He wasn't a leading Sadducee. They didn't live in Jerusalem, in the great city. They just lived in the hill country. And yet God was going to bless them. And even his unbelief was going to be turned for good, as when his mouth was eventually opened and he sang praises to God. And by the Holy Spirit, we have the wonderful truths that came out of his mouth recorded for us. Over and over, God uses ordinary people to accomplish his purposes. Abraham was from the Ur of the Chaldees, from an idolatrous family. He ended up just a nomad, but what a man of God he was. David was just a shepherd boy, a simple shepherd boy. But he became the great king of Israel. The disciples were noble people. Some of them were fishermen. But look how God used them. Ordinary people are often used in the purposes of God. And sometimes there seems to be some quite inconsequential people in inconsequential circumstances that bring blessing to others. Think of that servant girl who served Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, and how God used her for his blessing. Think of Gideon and 300 men, how they were used to defeat the Midianite army. God shows his power through small beginnings. And here's this couple up in the mountains of Judea. And God is going to use them, part of his purposes. She's going to have a child. A wonderful miracle will take place. All will marvel that this old woman has a child and this old man has a child. And he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. God's purposes are going to be fulfilled through this couple. Let's go a little further now. Let's look at Zacharias. 18,000 priests, 24 divisions. He had opportunity on 2 weeks of the year, two separate weeks of the year, to offer the daily offering in the temple. There were so many priests that they could only do this two times a year. 2 weeks of the year only. They took it in turns. But not everybody had the opportunity to go into the holy place, just outside the Holy of Holies, where the altar of incense was. You had to be chosen by lot. And what do we read here? Verse 8, verse 9. So it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The lot fell upon him. And you're only permitted once in your whole lifetime to go into this holy place. It was such a privilege. You would take coals from the altar in a golden bowl in the altar outside where the burnt offering had been offered. And as that priest, you would go in and you would take those burning coals to be put under the incense, and it'd be a sacred moment. You could not get any closer to the presence of God. God's presence was known in the Holy of Holies behind that curtain. And there you were as the incense went up and filled the place. And you had that opportunity just once in your lifetime. It might never come to you. And Zacharias had that opportunity. And what happened? Well, the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. You know, sometimes you read books or you hear people speaking, maybe on YouTube. They talk about seeing an angel, and they're so glib. And it's so unreal. And you have to say this is sheer fabrication. In the scriptures, when people see an angel of God, there's always tremendous fear. Because the angel comes from the presence of God. The angel is a being that has no sin. And there's often a glory around this angel. It brings something of the presence of God with it. And the angel's first word is often, do not fear, do not be afraid. So here's Zacharias. And we read this in verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. It was an awesome experience that he had. And then the angel speaks to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." What was that prayer? Was the prayer a prayer for a child? I'm sure for many years they had prayed for a child. Perhaps whilst they're old, they've given up praying. And maybe the angel is saying, God has heard those prayers that you once prayed. Or perhaps the prayer is this, praying that the Messiah would come, that God would fulfill his purposes. In one sense, God is saying, your prayer is heard. Your son is going to be the forerunner. And the Messiah is coming. But there's a wonderful truth. God had heard his prayers. Do you ever wonder if God hears your prayers? You've prayed in faith. You've trusted the Lord. And maybe you wonder, where are the answers? And you start to doubt. But God does hear the prayers of his people. He answers in different ways. Sometimes he answers no to our prayers. Maybe we've asked something selfish or something that wasn't according to his will. If we ask according to his will, we can be sure that he will enact it because it's according to his will. Often it's wait, isn't it? But God hears the cries of his people. The sad thing is that Zechariah, even when he was told that his prayers were heard, did not believe it. What else does the angel say? Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. That was unusual. It didn't happen. There was always a family name. I wonder, do you have that in your family? Sometimes your son will have a middle name. It's the name of the father. Or the daughter will have a middle name that's the name of the mother, or it's a grandfather, or families still do that today. They like to follow the names through. Not everybody does, but Jews, the son would often take the name of his father. But there's a special name, John, which means God is gracious. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. You'll be full of joy. All your sorrow and all your heartache will be turned to joy. And not just you, but there's something significant coming. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So he is somebody who's separated by God. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. In other words, he's a fulfillment of that prophecy that Malachi had, that one would come, a new Elijah. He will go before the Messiah in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Astounding news. And what was Zacharias' response? Verse 18, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And some of you might be saying, but didn't Mary say something similar when she got the news from the angel? And she wasn't judged for unbelief, but Mary's was different. She was inquiring, how can this be? But there wasn't a stubborn heart of unbelief. And when the angel told her, she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Mary had an inquiring mind. She wanted to know, how can this be? The Holy Spirit will overshadow your womb. And so let it be to me according to your word. I receive the word. But Zacharias, although he was in the presence of an angel, look at verse 19. "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God," the presence of this chief angel who stands in the presence of God and been given the word of God. Clearly, he doubted. because he saw a huge obstacle that he felt could not be overcome. And as a priest, he would have taught his people locally in the village in which he lived. As a priest, priests taught the word of God. And he would have known of Abraham, and he'd known how Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years. And she was barren and very old, and Abraham was very old when God gave them a child. He knew the scriptures. In fact, he knew the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of their wives were barren. He knew the Shunammite woman who was barren, and God provided a miraculous son for her. The wife of Manoah, she also was told that she would have a child, Samson, a significant son. He knew that there were these examples, five at least in the Old Testament, of barren women who could not bear children, and God miraculously provided. Was there an excuse for his unbelief? Well, an angel from God appeared to him. What about Hannah as well? We read of Hannah, who was going to have a child. She was barren for a long time, crying out to the Lord, and God gave her Samuel. All these examples in the Old Testament. And she did not believe. Sorry, he did not believe. So what about you and me? When God speaks to us, do we believe his word? Or do we doubt his word? When God speaks to us, when we're reading God's word at home, do we accept it? When he speaks to us on a Sunday when we're hearing it, do we take hold of that word? Do we believe the word of God? When we come to church, do we expect God to speak to us? Is there something in our minds that causes us to shut down? Perhaps Zacharias' mind shut down as to everything that was being said by the angel. The moment he was told he'd have a son, he couldn't hear anything else. It was impossible. That's all he could think about, the impossibility. And you in church sometimes and your mind shuts down. There's something that's troubling you and worrying you, and you won't listen. You can't listen to the sermon, and you're left in unbelief. The writer to the Hebrews says this: "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Hebrews 3:12, an evil heart. Hebrews 3 verse 19 tells us that the people of God could not enter the promised land due to unbelief. Hebrews 4 verse 2, their failure was that they did not mix the hearing of the word of God with faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, that you and I would live by faith. Oh, that you and I would be people of faith. Oh, that we would trust in the word of God. Now, this man was judged severely. The angel Gabriel says, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God," verse 19, "and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." How difficult that would have been for him as a priest, no longer able to teach God's word for the 9 months that his wife would be pregnant, no longer able to converse freely with her. How difficult, how hard it was for him. But then, when the child was born, on the eighth day, when it was to be circumcised, and the people came, wanting to know what he would be called, asking, will he be called after his father, Zacharias, and Elizabeth, saying, "No, his name shall be called John." They call Zacharias. They want him to say, well, shouldn't it be your son, Zacharias, communicate with them. And in verse 62, it says that they have to make signs to him. You think, well, why on earth would they need to make signs? Couldn't they just speak to him because his hearing's okay? But maybe his hearing isn't okay. Maybe he's so old that he's also deaf. And they have to make signs to him. And he writes on a tablet stone, his name shall be called John. And immediately his tongue is loosed, and immediately he praises and blesses God and declares wonderful words, and everybody is amazed. Friends, I have one message to you and to me this morning. If we've been unbelieving, let's ask the Lord to forgive us and cleanse us. The Lord is gracious. The Lord was gracious to this man. He was able then to praise and declare God's goodness again. Let us ask the Lord to forgive us. Let us never doubt his power. Let us never doubt his good purposes. But let's remember, he is the God of the impossible, and nothing is too hard for him. Yes, our lives may be very, very ordinary, but God chooses ordinary people to do big things for him. A big thing may be your next door neighbor is converted through your testimony. A big thing may be that a colleague at work is significantly impacted by your life and drawn to Christ. God may have a role for you to play in a certain way. Trust him. He hears prayer. He heard the prayer of Zacharias and Elizabeth, even when they weren't believing it. He heard the church's prayer in Acts 12 for Simon Peter when he was locked in prison, even though they didn't believe it. And when he got out of prison and he knocked on that door, they were so surprised to see him. God hears the prayers of his people. May we believe him for it. Amen.